welcome to this Sunday morning meeting podcast from Kingdom Faith Yorkshire. Today's message is by Paul Abel.
Oh, praise God. Are you feeling good?
Yes.
Amen. God is on the throne.
Yes.
Amen. He is about changing this nation.
Yes.
And here are the nation changers.
Yes.
But they have to have passion.
Yes.
Amen. And if you're sitting here this morning and you don't really know Jesus and you're thinking, well, I don't know, I've got to have passion or not. That's fine. Don't worry. Just come to get to know him and he'll fill you with passion.
Yes.
Amen. Okay, some of the old and tireder ones around here, some of us, you know, we lose it now and then because we forget how awesome this is. That Jesus has laid down his life to set us free. Not just so that we could be free, but so that we can live in his glory. So that the glory of God can shine out of our faces. So that when we go out there on the streets, we make a difference. Amen. So that the people going in Solid Rock Cafe, they encounter Jesus.
Amen.
Not just because Andy and Carol are nice, but because the anointing falls on that cafe.
Yes.
Amen. Because they are men of God. Well, Carol's a woman of God, but you know what I mean. Yeah? But that's not just the Solid Rock Cafe because it's got Christians in it, but it's in our workplaces.
That's right.
It's in the schools.
Yeah.
It's in the colleges. It's at the university. It's wherever we go. It's in Credo's sports shop. Amen. Is that the right name? It's close.
Yeah.
It's there that people go in, they go in to buy a tracksuit and they come out saved. You know? This is what we've got to start believing for because it's what God is saying that you are going to see. Amen. You are a statement of what God wants to do in this church. Young men who've got their lives sorted, who are trying to make a difference with their family and you know, getting everything right, and they're not just sort of sitting around doing nothing. And God wants to see lots of young people just like you sitting here in this church, young families, and you're one of the first.
Yes.
Amen. But we take that as a prophetic sign from God that this is to be filled.
Yes.
Okay?
Yes.
We're all too old in here, you know. I'm talking about myself, you know. And some of you are thinking, oh my goodness, what's that make me? But, you know, I'm not being that rude. I try to include myself so I don't make you all feel... But what I mean is, we need to touch all generations.
Yes. Yes.
Amen? So, you know, reach your generation, reach the next generation, reach the generation above you. Let's see the 90-year-olds here on here on Sunday morning. Amen?
Yes.
See, you're young yet. Let's see people turning up and their lives being changed. But not just here. What God is saying to us is this whole open house thing is that people are turning up at our homes. And that really is the challenge. I don't know how, so for some of you it might be a bigger challenge than others. Some of you are thinking, I don't even know how it's to happen. But when it says open our homes, it's about opening our hearts to people and letting people into our lives. You know, it's talking to the postman. You know? You know, where did you suddenly grab that from? It's talking to the people we meet and being prepared to give people a bit of time.
Yes.
You know, it's when you collect your prescription from the chemist. It's just chatting.
Yeah.
You know, and then God will give opportunities. Yeah. It's talking to the checkout guy in Sainsbury's. How you doing? What's going on? Blah-de, blah-de, blah. And, you know, sometimes it's just us. One of the things that struck me when we come up here was, you know, people seem much more willing to talk in shops than down south. Down south. But when we was in Horsham this week and we were in Waitrose, just to give you a bit of my southern accent, you know, they were accusing me of having a northern accent down there, just because I said Sunday, unintentionally. And we was in Waitrose and the cashier girl was really friendly. We were chatting away. But I'm sure that 90% of it was just that we were friendly.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we used to go out to a country in North Africa that I won't mention because it's being recorded, we came back from North Africa saying, isn't it amazing how friendly the people are? You know, on the streets, you say hello to them, usually in French because they speak French and I can't speak Arabic, so there's no point going there, let alone Tashlahi, which is what... But, you know, and there on the streets, you're speaking to people saying hello and whatever, and they're really friendly and warm. And I was walking around Horsham one day, and I suddenly thought, well, maybe it's just that we're friendly. So I tried out smiling at people and saying hello on the streets. Do you know what? People smiled back, said hello, and in some people I had conversations with them. They were just as friendly.
Yes.
It's just that we've conditioned to think, oh, don't talk to strangers.
Yes.
No, Jesus said go and talk to strangers.
Yes.
He said the very, very opposite.
Yes.
Amen. They're the people he wants to see saved. Sometimes we sort of inoculate, oh, their terrible lifestyle. Look at the parties they get into. Look what they're doing, you know. What a foul temper he's got. They're the very people God wants.
Yes.
Yeah? And sometimes, I know I do it, you sort of separate yourself a little bit from them so you don't feel so guilty about not telling them. You know? And God doesn't want us to feel guilty, but there is this passion welling up inside us that says, I need my street changed. I need my neighbours changed. I need my workplace changed. Amen? And everyone in this room, God can use to see that happen. Because this is harvest time. That's what God keeps saying to us. Harvest time. It's harvest time. It's harvest time. It's coming again and again and again. And if we grab hold of it and believe it, we'll see it. Yeah. But believe means that you trust in it. You rely on it. You know, when you sit down, if I sit on the edge of this stage here, you know, I just sit down. I don't check it all out first because I believe it's going to support my weight. And because I believe, it's going to support my weight, you know, I sit. And when you believe something, it means therefore there is an action. Yes. So if you believe it's harvest time, you won't just be thinking, oh, it's harvest time. We'll do something about it because we know that there's going to be a harvest coming in. As I looked out the window across to the hill opposite this morning as I was having my prayer time, the tractors were out digging the field up again. Because the farmer believes he'll have a harvest. Yeah. Yeah? He's got great faith that he's going to have a harvest. Now, our faith is greater than that farmer's faith. And he's already booked the combine harvester for whatever time it is next year to bring it all in. He's already booked the balers. You know, because he has faith that he's going to have a field full of big square bales in that particular case, because it's such a steep hill, the other ones would roll down. They'd pile at the bottom. Maybe he did that the first year. It's harvest time. And it's not like God is getting out a big stick and beating us. He's just saying, look, this is great. Do you want to get in on it? Do you want to be part of this? Well, I want to be part of this. Yeah, and I know that you do. I know you do. I know that you're passionate about it. You know? I haven't started preaching, by the way. This is the introduction to the notices. It really is. I haven't even told the joke yet. This is the second preach. You had one during the worship. This is the second one. I'm going to have the third one after the notices. Peter anxiously looked at the clock at that point. Caught ya. He's thinking, how much time has he got left? Right. I only got as far as the welcome, didn't I? So number two was, there's God encounter this Thursday. Amen. Who's going to be there? Oh, oh. Just because your poppy's bigger than mine. Now... Yes. That's not got anything to do with anything. You know, next Sunday, don't turn up here. Because there won't be anybody here. Because well, there will be, because they're using it for something else. It was pre-booked before we took over. Before we claimed the territory. So next week, there's no service here. 18th of November, we're at Lamplugh House for the morning. It'll be quite fun to be back over there. Or some of you, it'll be the first time you've ever been over there. Come and enjoy it. We'll have a good morning. Amen. We haven't got to worry about the neighbours. Not that we seem to be too good at that here anyway. Hallelujah. So we'll see you there. Lifts available. Yes, Kate is right. If you can't get to Lamplugh because you can't get a lift, could you see Peter and Anne? They're sitting right at the back there on the end. And they'll help you sort out with people picking you up and stuff like that. We don't want anybody not able to be there because they couldn't get a lift. Is Phil still in the room? Phil, can you double check that the girls are all right? Thanks. And it's men's breakfast next Saturday. Yay! Hey! Fat lad Saturday. And we were only talking about going back on South Beach this week when I'm breaking it Saturday. Okay, so you really do need to get your names to David today and your guests' names to David today. There's now 30-something men that want to be there, so it's going to be a great morning. Okay? And it will be a good morning to bring along friends, whether they're saved or unsaved, bring them along, because God's bringing the people in. Amen? And we'll see God do something. All right? It's a bad morning for the cafe, because everybody that would have gone there is at Lamplugh. Picking on you today, I'm sorry. It's just, you're right there in the centre, so that's it. You've had it. Praise God. There was a guy called Pepe Rodriguez. Rodriguez, you know, some sort of Spanish name. Not very good at it. Pepe Rodriguez, that's the name. Pepe. Pepe it was. Pepe Rodriguez. Anyway, he was a bandit back in the time when America was young and Scarborough was an old seaside resort. back in the Wild West days when there were Texas Rangers. In Texas. Funnily enough. Anyway, Pepe was a bandit and he liked to go raiding Texas, you see. So he'd go off into Texas and he drove the Texas Rangers absolutely mad because they weren't able to catch him. And so he kept stealing all this gold, etc., and robbing banks and stuff, and then nipping back over the border to Mexico. And of course, they weren't allowed to go into Mexico. But one day they'd had enough, and a bunch of the Texas Rangers went over the border into Mexico. And they tracked Pepe down to this small Mexican stroke Spanish town. And they walked into this bar, and there was Pepe Rodriguez sitting in the corner in the bar. And these marshals walk in with their big guns. The trouble is, Pepe can only speak Spanish, and the marshals can only speak a very strange form of English. And so, but fortunately, the barman in there can speak Spanish. So Pepe's sitting there sort of shaking and looking, you know, really, really worried. I thought, what's going to happen to him? And the lawman, the Texas Rangers, say to the barman, they say, right, translate for us. Tell Pepe to tell us where the gold is, or we're going to shoot him. Now, here on the spot, he's a dead man. He's got to tell us now. Tell him. So the barman says to Pepe, they want to know where your treasure is, where your gold is. Pepe tells them where the gold is. The barman looks back at the lawman and he says, Pepe says, he's a brave man and he will never tell you where it is. You can shoot him dead now for all he cares. Okay. I'll try and work a way of getting that into my talk. Right, I have really got something here, honest. I want to start where we started. He says, start? You've been talking for 20 minutes. I'm going to start in 1 Corinthians 14, because that's where we were last week. Okay? God's not letting go of this open house. And don't get confused, because I do kind of talk about two things with this concept of open house. And there are two things. One is God is talking to us about all of our homes being open and people just coming round to see us. And then I see the development of something, and when I say development, we'll just see as it happens over the next couple of weeks or so, and as people come forward and say, yeah, that's really, really, you know, what I want to do. So one is just having our houses open, but the second one is, yet there will be homes that we recognise are open houses in Scarborough and Driffield. Spitalfields was the word that came to mind, but it's a bit far. Driffield and Malton and, you know, and Filey and Humanby, or wherever we are, is also having homes that we recognise are open houses, so that when people sort of come to the church and they want to know which homes are open, we'll say, well, you can go to Mike and Kate's, you know? And it might be that as part of their house being open, that they do have an evening when they gather, or a morning when they gather, or a Saturday when they gather, and it'll probably change, because there won't be anybody central saying, thou must have your meeting on a Tuesday night, okay? The idea is for it to be flexible. I'm just picking on you. I'm not just saying that's what's going to happen. No, don't panic. But it might be. Who knows? You know? And we won't be coordinating great lists of people saying, thou shalt go to this group. You can go whichever one you want. All right? I don't see the church in Acts getting all 3,000 people into groups by the weekend. You know? They must have just gone and met in houses and nobody quite knew where anybody was. But I don't think it matters. God does. We'll look for people sort of falling through the cracks. We'll be wise. And there'll be sort of the people who are hosting the open house, they'll need to be leaders because they'll be guiding that group. But God is also bringing us to this point, you remember, where we're all priests. We're all taking care of one another rather than looking to the pastor. And even though we will have a pastoral team, the less they do, the better the church is working. Amen. So long, we've tied ourselves up in knots as churches, having system after system after system after system. And what God has said to the church really is grow up, yes. Be adults, look after one another, love one another, care for one another, encourage one another, instruct one another, all the one another's that we had last week, instead of lifting people up and giving them titles and expecting them to do it all. Amen. In fact, leaders like me, God has put me here to sort of stir the church into doing it. That's all. That's what my job is. It says equip the body. You know, that's what I'm supposed to do. That's why in the middle of the worship, I stop and say, right, body, get equipped. Get passionate. It's about stirring us up when we're sort of losing track. That's what Pastor Colin does. He comes along and he goes, skish, You know, and you're, oh yes, I should be doing that, shouldn't I? You know? Or maybe he just does it with love and encouragement, whichever way the Holy Spirit says. You know, with your child, sometimes you give them sweets, sometimes you give them a smack bottom, depending on what you know is the best. You know? Our kids did get smacked when they were very little, and then not after. And Daniel got smacked more than Tom. You don't know Tom, our oldest one, but Tom, you could go like that and he'd be in tears. Daniel, you went like that and he'd be laughing. Sorry, Dad, you're here, Tom's not. It's not fair. Tom came out of the womb from Kate saying, "Here I am, Mummy, what can I do for you?" Dan came out saying, "I'm here, world, let me at it." Yeah, your children are different. Well, that's why God deals with us differently. Praise God. So, in 1 Corinthians 14, this is really how I see some of those open houses. There'll be times of having breakfast together. There'll be times of going bowling together, go to the cinema together, go... I nearly said skinny dipping in the sea. I don't think that's a good one. Certainly not together. Purify my mind, Lord. What a thought. Okay. Yes, because somebody at the weekend kept going on about nudist beaches in Yorkshire to me. It's obviously sowed a thought in there. Well, this little dear, I really am going to start bringing my glasses. Look at that. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's just stand under the light out here. Right. Well, my brothers and sisters, let's summarize what I'm saying. So that sounds good. When you meet, one will sing, another will teach, another will tell some special revelation God has given. One will speak in an unknown language, while another will interpret what is said. But everything that is done must be useful to all and build them up in the Lord. Now there is the key to this. Okay? If the word you're going to bring is going to be some sort of word of condemnation, it's not going to be from God in that context. Yeah, if God really does give you what you believe is a word of correction for the church, he would send you to me, or to Martin, or to Kate. Because God will use the leadership to bring the word of correction. If you think of a family, okay, it's not the youngest brother's job to correct the oldest brother. If the youngest brother really does see the oldest brother doing something wrong, he goes and tells mum or dad so that they can deal with it. Otherwise, you'll have disharmony in the family. Yeah, it's exactly the same in the church family. If you start to try and do that to one another, it all goes wrong. Now, it does say instruct one another. It does say exhort one another, which is, you know, encouraging one another to do the right thing. And it does say forgive one another. But everything that is done must be useful to all and build them up in the Lord. So we'll have these open houses where people may not even arrive all at the same time. You know, we get so paranoid because they're half an hour late. Well, just have an open house, there's no concept of being late. Yeah, and you sit around and someone, you're getting to some sort of prayer, or you might, you know, someone will say, you know, let's sing this. Great, go for it. If we learn to do this with the Holy Spirit, it will be very, very anointed. And what will happen is we'll all start being used by God properly. Because it's boring being part of a church. We're called to be the church, not be part of. Yeah? And the church prophesies. The church prays for healing. The church instructs one another. You arrive at the meeting and you've got a word from God. Something that God has already said to you. And you're going to share it with your brothers and sisters. And they're going to say, that's rubbish. No, they're going to say, yeah, this is of God. That's what I got as well. And that's really church. You know, so it's fun times, but the spiritual, and it's not, you know, the worst kind of life group meetings that I've been to, as everybody's in the room and the whole room's buzzing and somebody says, right, let's start the meeting. Boom. Yeah. Yeah? Let's stop having those kind of meetings. Just flow into it. Now, the leaders in that meeting, their job is to edify and encourage the body. So they're enabling that meeting to happen. Amen? So what we're going to do this is a very crude way of doing it in this meeting, because this meeting is not really for that kind of thing, because there's too many of us. If everybody had got a word from God, we'd be here till 9 o'clock at night and the library wouldn't be too happy. But well, in a minute, I'll grab the microphone, and anybody that's got anything about what God is doing in their lives or what you think God is saying to this church, I'll give you the microphone. Just as a sort of summing the example of more people. Now, that is not, I say it's crude because that's what you won't do in your groups. You won't pass a microphone around and kill off the whole conversation. You can let it be more natural. But as a kind of a prophetic statement this morning of the body being activated and involved rather than just me speaking, we'll do a bit of that in a minute, if that's all right. Which is why when you came up to me, when you walked in to me and said this morning, I really feel I've got to say something this morning. Can I talk about what's been happening? It was like, yes, Lord. So you were definitely hearing God. And which was brave of you to come and say it, because it's never been done here. But actually, you'd heard God. And having said that, you see, I think there will be more opportunity for others to contribute during the meetings and, you know, prophetic words and things. Come forward, whoever's sort of... rather than just call out random things, which opens your whole meeting up to mavericks. I'm not saying that you're mavericks, but if you have that kind of thing, we have a big meeting where anybody... Not in your house, just do it in the house. But here, if you open up a big meeting, what inevitably happens is you get mavericks come in and it just gets a bit awkward. So it's best just to come forward and share what you've got with somebody who's sitting at the front, and then they hand a mic over at the right point. Or they might just say, that's brilliant, I think that's from God, but I don't think it's for this meeting at the moment. And it just stops things coming along that just sort of... But in your open house, just go for it. And you will get some stuff that's weird and wacky and wonderful. It doesn't matter. God's bigger. But in this context, it could just really jolt the whole thing. Is that all right? Do you understand where I'm going and coming from? So I think this is absolutely key, and which is why I came right back to it, even though last week I finished with it. Am I preaching exactly the same word again? Well, who cares if I am? Because it's what God is saying to us. Amen. As I sat down, you know, to God this morning to say, what do you want me to say, God? And he just bringing me back to this. And the other thing he kept just saying, keep reminding them about walking across the room. You remember from the other Sunday, take a walk across the room from the comfort zone to the twilight zone. It's back to the, you know, talking to the postman or the chemist. It's that stepping out of where we've been before and stepping into a new realm. They might not get on their knees and repent at that minute, but, you know, we will be surprised by what God does, however. You know, God wants the healing and the miracles and the wonders to be out there, not just in here. In fact, I think you'll see them in greater measure out there than we'll ever see them here. Because God doesn't want that kind of everything central thing all the time. Not that we won't have that, not that we won't have calls forward ever or anything like that, but it's just allowing things to be a little bit more flexible and a little bit less meeting-based, a little more life-based. Amen? Oh, amen. Praise God. Right, let's go somewhere else. Let's go to Matthew chapter 25. And if we get time, we'll come back to it. Because now I'm going to ask you what I warned you about a few minutes ago. So you can keep a little marker in it. And if we get time, we'll come back to it. If we don't get time, we'll leave it, maybe till next week. It doesn't matter. It's more important now we hear what God is saying through the body. And as I said, this is a bit formal, but it's an indication of where God wants us to go. So Steve, we'll start with you. And I'm going to give you the mic so everybody can hear nice and clearly, okay?
Good morning. Afternoon. I've not been here for a few weeks. It's been... quite a big struggle the last six weeks, sort of financially for myself and the family. And 6 weeks ago, I made the decision to sell the house. We'd not got anywhere to go, but I'd rather sell it and get what money we can than, you know, lose it and end up with nothing. So I made that decision, and I didn't know where we were going to go, what was going to happen, but I just did it anyway. And I've held on to it for the last 6 weeks. Thinking I'm losing everything, you know, losing the last five years of my life living there, and I don't know why. I've got more and more down. I've had challenges, not being able to get to church on Sundays, and you know, it all culminated on Monday when I couldn't make it to Alpha, and I just sat down and I said, "That's it." I just said, "If you want to make me homeless, Lord, then you know, just do it now, because like this 6 weeks has just been." It's been really bad. And I didn't get anything, but I had a phone call on Monday night with one of my mentors in America, and we were just talking about it. And he made the point about, he said, you know, I own a lot of property, but he said, I don't own it. He said that the Lord has given me this because I can, you know, I've proved myself and, you know, he's given me blessings. And he said, you don't own your house. It's for a reason. He said, what do you actually own in life? You know, he says, God gives you it when you're ready. And it made me feel a lot better. But while he was talking, I got a message through. And God said to me, he said, 6 weeks ago, you told Pastor Paul that you were going to contact Christians in Spark. So I really love my Spark. And I said I was going to contact them, see if I could go and help coach the young kids there, you know. And it is really strange how this has all come together, this meeting, because it could be that I go there to, you know, help Christians in Spartan people, young kids off the street, and stop the murders on the streets just by, you know, kids getting into Spartan. And I sat there and I said, I know what I've got to do. I've got to contact them tomorrow morning. So Tuesday morning, I phoned them up and had a real good chat, and it looks like I'm going to help them with coaching somewhere along the line. But yeah, it was really good. And for once, the last 6 weeks, I forgot about myself, which was, you know, another big learning point. I thought about myself and not others for 6 weeks. And, you know, it was just a big weight off my shoulders. And an hour later, I got a phone call from the Dorney Estates, who had applied for a house up there, but we didn't get it. And he said to pop up, he just wanted a chat with me on my own. So I went up there and he said that the couple had pulled out that morning and that did we want the house. And that was like in the space of an hour of me getting up in the morning, phoning Christians in Spartan. Not only that, I then found more contacts through the business and just had a really good week. We had a really good talk, Martin, when you came down on Wednesday. And things had just gone from strength to strength only because, you know, I stopped thinking of myself. I let go, and I think just one thing, when I was talking to Christians in Spartan, they had this armband, and it was audience of one, and I didn't understand what it meant. So I asked them, and they said, "Well, you know, you can be part of Spartan, you can, you know, play in front of 50,000 people, but you know, when you're a Christian, you're playing in front of one, and that's God." And I just wear it now because that signifies what I do from now on, which is, you know, let go. Let God. He's my audience. He will move me where I want to go and, you know, stop thinking about myself, you know, and start working, you know, through the Lord, and, you know, things happen fast, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. All right, let's pray for Steve, shall we?
Yes.
Okay, we need to pray into your whole work situation, that God blesses you financially in the sports and stuff. Pray for the whole sports outreach thing you're going to be doing, and then also pray for this home. Because God, I know you've got this opportunity now, but God is not going to leave you homeless, that's for certain. And it's not going to waste the 5 years that's gone before either. He redeems the years, the locusts of Eden, not the other way around. So let's stand, and maybe Keith and Joan can pray for you over the mic as they're standing next to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Father, we just thank you that in Jeremiah it says that you know the plans for us, you know the purposes, you know all our future, and we just pray your blessing upon Steve. We know, Lord, that his life, his family's life are in your hands,
yes,
that you've had him in mind for generations and generations, and we thank you that he has a godly inheritance, and he's going to walk in that inheritance in the future.
Amen.
And be a great blessing wherever he goes and bring blessing into the lives of many children. We thank you for that.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Father, for your plan and your purpose for Steve's life.
Yes.
He's walking the walk. Hallelujah.
Yes, definitely.
Father, pray for his wife and children, for the whole family. Father, they'll come to know you in the same way that Steve
yes.
does.
Yes, amen.
Father, we exalt you, Lord, because you don't bring division, you bring unity. Father, I just pray, well, I prophesy over these plans and purposes that you've brought into Steve's life in this last week, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for what you're doing. We honour you, Lord. We stand with Steve in his trials. Steve, the Lord says to you, speak to people when you're down. Share. Seek out your friends, those that are close to you, and confess and bring these things. Release them. If you hold them in, the devil can be at work. If you release them, you blow him away.
Yes, amen.
And Father, I just pray over this man. Thank you, Lord. He's a joy to know Lord. Yeah. And we thank you for that. Amen. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
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 Amen. Anybody else got a word or a scripture for Steve?
Dave and I sold our house and we gave everything up to follow God. And 5 years on, and we went from the house, we went into a one-bedroom flat, then we went into one room at college, then we come back and we went into two rooms at Lamplough House. And God's brought it all back and more, and he will do that for you. He will not let you down, he will do that for you. Yes.
Amen. Amen.
Steve had a picture of just like a huge, what do you call it, like a sheaf of wheat and grain. And God just said, I will make you fruitful. And God will make you fruitful. As long as you rest in him, you're going to be abundantly fruitful. Don't worry about your family. God's going to save them. All right.
Amen. See, God's given us a picture of how we can be in together. Not because it's life group time, but just when we're together, where we can pray for one another. Steve has done what we need to be, which is learn to be honest with one another. He gave a testimony of victory, but actually it was tinged with sorrow and hardness.
Yes.
But that is often what it's like, isn't it? Yeah, it doesn't always, we don't always feel good. And he's given us this morning the opportunity to pray. And it's quite funny, I was saying he was prophetic being here, but he's also prophetically led the way this morning in saying, this is how we need to be with one another. You know, and this is really just the tip of the iceberg. We could pray much more in the home group now, or the open house, whatever it's called. Sometimes the name gets in the way. But, you know, it would be a great opportunity to really pray into this situation, right? Take authority over the lack of finance or whatever. Pray prosperity over the business and stuff like that, and really go to town on it.
Yes.
And that might be all you do at night is stand with Steve, or you might go on to somebody else. But and this is how God wants to build us together. And you're saying, well, when's that going to happen? Well, we're just heading one step at a time, but it can happen now. You can just, you know, invite people around. Just do so. It'd be chaos. It doesn't matter. You know, don't try and grab people and form a group and build kingdoms and whatever. Just spend time with one another. But particularly look out for those who you don't know. Because the dangerous thing about this now is we'll get into little cliques of people we've always known. And what we've got to do is look out for the people we don't know or the people that are new. You know, like Christine, who's not here this morning. You know, I bet a lot of you don't know her because she's relatively new. So you need to invite her round your home, invite her round, have dinner together. That was one of the early challenges God gave us in the summer, wasn't it? To keep inviting people who you've not met before. And this is a special privileged time to do that, because there will be the day when you can no longer know everybody in the church. But actually at the moment you can, to some extent. You can't know them bosom buddy pals, but you can know just about everybody in the church. And one day you won't be able to do that. So make the most of being small, and the advantage of being small. There's great advantages in being large in terms of what you can do, but make most of now. All right, let's sit down. As I say, this is a bit too formal for what open house is, but let's just... anybody else want to share what God is doing in their life or how you see God is speaking to us as a church? Because you just did both.
That's wonderful what we've heard this morning. This last few days I've been asking the Lord about the church and the way forward. And the word that's been coming to me is signs and wonders. This is what we've got to look for. This is what's going to explode in Scarborough and amongst ourselves. But it begins with us. Each of us has to look for those signs and wonders in our life. And especially Steve at this moment, it just hit me when he started to speak. Look for the signs and wonders. Expect them and God will be with you.
Whoa, this is good. There's three of you then.
I shared a little bit on Thursday because I've been reading the story of Rahab, and if you reread it through, she simply heard the story, the accounts of all that God had done for Israel. And I think this is what God wants us to do out on the streets. If we're just sharing our testimony, what God has done for us, then God is already at work. He's preparing people's hearts outside. And then the signs and wonders will flow. And I think if you read the story of Rahab, you'll see a lot in it that will, you know, back this up, that it's really a work of God, but we need to, you know, be the ones that share the story.
Amen. Amen. You know, I was so proud of the guys when Pastor Colin was talking about the gang on the streets of Kingdom Faith people. We have. There are some of us already out there on the streets like a gang. You know, it was good that he was saying you should do this. It was even better that we already were. And maybe it was God again highlighting that this meeting is, it is direction, it is confirmation of what God is already saying. And in that case, it was God confirming what we were already doing.
I hate microphones. I think there already is a gang out on the streets from this church, and it's Phil
and Paul
and Tony
and
all the others specifically that are going out on a Friday.
That's what I meant.
Absolutely.
That is the gang, yeah.
They're going out and they're doing youth work, bringing young people who are out on the streets into the presence of God just by being there. And in the early days of it starting, I would join in prayer, and it was absolutely phenomenal. Lately, I've been sort of dragged away and busy and tired, and strange things happen. You know you should be there and you're not. But in the back of all of that, there's a real passion, I think, in this church and among the people for the youth of this town. And that's something that I felt very strongly since I've been here among this fellowship. And that passion, obviously I share it, I manage the youth service, but I've realised that you can't actually change a young person's life by doing an art class. You can change a young person's life by loving them while you're doing that art class and by bringing them into the presence of God. Mm. And for a long, long time, the youth service has, since I've been here a year as a youth service, but we've been looking for somewhere for young people to go in Scarborough. Those of you who live here, well, no, there is actually nowhere for young people to meet or come off the streets in Scarborough. And part of the vision, and I know that Martin and myself have had discussions for a long, long time about where young people and the church, Kingdom Faith, might meet together, where there might be a shared venue for the young people just to come off the streets, but also a venue for Kingdom Faith. Well, recently I found out that the Westwood College was actually going to be coming up for sale, and had a real passion that it should be for young people. And asked lots and lots of people who were out in the community working with young people, and everybody agreed. Everybody agreed. Nobody said, that's stupid. Everybody agreed. But nobody wanted to take the bull by the horn, so to speak, and actually do something about it. And so it came to the end of last week, and the service providers, the people who work with young people in Scarborough, the lead person in that, just sort of turned around and said, well, it's not going to happen. And I said, I don't believe that. You know, I don't believe that we need to be by the world and live by what the world says. So I got a little bit angry, righteous anger. I thought, this is rubbish. Went back to work, opened my emails, and the first thing I opened was a newsletter, and the top of the newsletter was £5 million available for work with young people. Mm. I looked at it, and my knees went up a bit like jelly. But anyway, I read it, printed it out, prayed about it, didn't say a word to anybody. Saw Pastor Paul on Sunday and said, you know, we were discussing this building and you said 6 million would be needed to do it. I said, would 5 do? And he said, well, 5 might do. So I showed him the bid and he just said, go for it. So apologies to everybody who hasn't been shared in this, and it's in God's hands. It's just I think this week I've actually written the application. It isn't for 5 million, it's for less than that, because I realised that we need to be a church, and I should have really rung people and find out who's in finance and how do you do this. But I think what's happened is God has shown me that not to be afraid to do things. And I thank you for that, because you just said go for it. And in the meantime, we've circulated emails, and it's always been encouraging. You're a bit crazy, but encouraging. And it is in God's hands. And, you know, by the foolish things of this world, God will show himself. And heaven knows I'm foolish. And, you know, it wasn't the best bid in the world. It was all a bit rubbish, really. But at the end of the day, if this happens, it will be proven it's a miracle. It's God's work. It's no, you know, it's nobody else's. It's God's work. If it doesn't happen, it's but a passion, I think. It's and throughout the week, God has so upheld my desire, be it his will or not. He has upheld my desire by giving me at every stage all the information I needed to write it. I'd be searching out something and think, now where did I put that document? And it would be there. At one point, I was actually sitting next to a pile of documents, and I just picked one up I didn't even know I had, and it had every piece of data I needed. Mm. Every single pile. I could show it to people. It was phenomenal. But throughout this week, it's been probably one of the hardest weeks I've ever had as well, because the enemy doesn't like it, does he?
He doesn't like it when we step
so
out.
So it's been quite a tough
and
week
that will
as
be
well.
The importance of the smaller groups as well, because that's, well, because we will be stepping out. And what you've done again is a bit like we're saying about Steve. You've been prophetic of how we're thinking bigger as a church and sort of, I can apply for 5 million. because God could apply for 5 million, that's for sure. But it's that stepping out. But as we step out, you can expect the enemy to sort of poke his head up and have a look. And we just need the body to stand around one another. And, you know, you can't do that very easily in this meeting where you're staring at the back of somebody's head. You know, it's got to be as we get. And you're saying, well, when are you really going to get these groups up and running? Well, when God says. At the moment, what God is doing is saying he's sowing, because if we started life groups in September, we'd have had them exactly the same as they've always been, and a year on, they wouldn't be working. Because God wants something different, and the different is going to come from how he's, at the moment, working in our hearts. So that these groups, Hope and Houses, are different to what they've been before. One of the big differences is that I see them full of people who aren't believers as well. Because it'd just be so easy for them to come along. You say, what, with all the prayer and stuff? Yes, with all the prayer and stuff. Because we'll just be doing it naturally. Yeah? Somebody else put their hand up back here.
I've been reading through Acts of the Apostles again. It is such an encouragement. And what actually spoke to me was from Acts 4. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. It had been with Jesus. And then after they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken. But they'd been praying for the boldness. They'd been praying for the signs and wonders, which gives us encouragement. They had to pray then. We've still got to pray just as hard today. But it's such an encouragement, because they were ordinary men filled with the Spirit and filled with the boldness, which is exactly what we need. We need it to be able to go out onto the streets. Okay.
Thank you. Oh, Jimmy? I pass in, you know. You're just too slow there.
I just think about where the youth's concerned, what you've been on about on the streets and one thing that happened. Been messing with one or two, you know, young lads up the street, one thing another. And to be truthful with you, my experience, what I've just had, is that we need God to raise up young kids in them streets, that's on the streets, 18, 19, 20 year old, that's doing what they're doing now. Because when we're going and talking to them, half the time, it just goes over their head, they'll take advantage of you and laugh all the top. God needs to raise up young lads on them streets, saved, that's been on drugs, drinking, whatever they're doing, to get out there, because them's the only ones that'll get to them, and that's what needs to happen. Because half the time, where 30-odd year ago I could have done, but not now, to get to them young kids, and need kids like themselves to get to them. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And how's that going to happen?
By going, yeah, you're going to have to go
who, out. Who we got now?
We've got to go out, yeah.
And reach the key ones.
Yeah, to reach the key ones, get to them. Yeah. Get to them. But
when, if you look in, I think it's in Acts, they talk about going into a new town, and God encouraged them to look for what was called the man of peace, which in Paul's case, when they went to one of his men of peace was a woman. It was Lydia, and that was the key person that then broke open the thing. And that's what we must be looking for at this stage in what we're doing. We're looking for the key person that God is saying in this area, whether it's with young people, there'll be a key young person. Whether it's in people in your street, there may be a key person on your street. This man of peace who's actually ready for the gospel. Or they're ready in some way. Rather than just scattering this everywhere, which we do in any way. But we need to look, right, where's the soil? Where's the good soil? Where's it going in? And then you can focus in on that person. Yeah? Andy was before you.
Hi. I was here a couple of weeks ago, and in the worship, I really felt like the Lord imparted a word into my heart. And he just said to me, now it begins. But when the Lord gives you a word, it's so multi-layered. It's like when Jesus, in the Gospels, you can just take what he says at face value, or you can dig deeper and find treasure. And I just found that when the Lord said to me, now it begins, it meant so much. First of all, it meant, as Jesus was in the tomb 3 days, and then he rose to new life, then it really began. His ministry really began at his resurrection, because that's when the disciples did more than ever Jesus could do, because they were greater in number. And I really felt like the Lord was saying to me through this, you've been 3 years in this cafe now, you've been 3 years in Scarborough, you've been 3 years in this cafe, now it begins. And I thought, what do you mean, Lord? And I had to dig down deep, because, I mean, Jesus achieved great things while he was on the earth for 3 years, but when he left, then it really began. And I thought, this is big. And first of all, I thought, well, you know, Kingdom Faith have been in Scarborough for a good while, but I really believe you're in a new season now, and now it begins. And when the Lord gives you the word, he gives you the power to go with it. I was speaking to somebody recently, and she was worrying about one of her family members, a daughter, I think, and the Lord gave her a word not to worry. But not only did he give her the word not to worry, he gave her the power to believe that and to walk in that. And lo and behold, she felt at total peace and just had the power not to worry. You know, so I felt like, now it begins. I said, what do you mean, Lord? And I looked to my own personal walk with the Lord, and a parable of Jesus came into my mind. A farmer had two sons, and he said to the first one, you go into the field and work. He says, yes, I will. And he went into the field, but then he didn't work. The second son said, no, I won't go into the field. But later on, he went, and he went willingly, and he worked. And I felt like, I said to the Lord, Lord, I've come here. You've told me to go into the field. We have done. But for 3 years, I've been in rebellion with you. I've kicked against the goads. I've been in rebellion. And I've done what you've asked me to do. But at the same time, if I felt you say to me, talk to the person at the checkout, I didn't say no to you, but by my very actions, I didn't do it. So I did say no. Paul said a couple of weeks ago, he talked about a book, Just Walk Across the Room. That sentence has impacted me so much. I haven't read the book. You've read the book. I haven't read the book. I could have read the book. I feel it's impacted me so much. Just walk across the room. Just like Paul was saying, speak to the postman. Give people time. And I feel like the Lord really, really is bringing me into a new season of compassion for people, wanting to give people time, wanting to speak to people. You know, Nigel's doing the Alpha at our cafe. And he says, it's all about seeing souls saved. You know, Colin Urquhart was here a couple of weeks ago, last week, whenever it was, and he says, why should we talk to them? They're just people. He says, they're just, and the way he said it, like, you know, it's like, to God, these people out there are not just people. They're all his children. And I'm just getting this revelation that everybody that comes into the cafe, whether they're saved, unsaved, whether I know them or not, they're not just people. They're not just customers, they're all God's children. They've sent them there for a purpose. And I really feel that we're all in a new season, but for me, I feel I'm in a new season, and one where I'm walking close to the Lord, and I'm not going to kick against the goads anymore. I'm going to walk more closely to him. And in Psalm 51, it says, you don't desire sacrifices, and also bring them. What you want is a broken spirit and a contrite heart. And the Lord gave me a picture of a wonderful stallion in a field. An unbroken horse, it's no good to the master. It's no good to his owner. It's just running around wild. But when that horse is broken, it really, really can be put to its full potential. The master can use it. Now, the horse is broken. It's not laying in a heap in the corner of the field, devastated. It's got fulfillment and purpose because it's doing what it was meant to do. So it's a kind of brokenness where the Lord can really use this. You know, and I just feel we're in this new season. This church is in this season. And I feel that Scarborough's in this season. And we're in the cafe, we're in this new season. And I personally am in this new season. And God's given us the power to walk in it.
Amen. That was good. Praise God.
I'll be quick. some of you already know, Jimmy and I went away to a wedding. It was my niece's wedding in France. And she's one of just two people that's not saved in our family. And we had to put a lot of decision into going, like Colin was coming up here and one or two other things. And we made the decision to go. And she suddenly decided that it was a pastor that was going to marry her. And in this village, literally, really, I mean, in the middle of nowhere, cliffs, rocks, one shop, there's a small Christian group, Born Again. And for some reason, probably because of the venue, she asked, would this pastor, Christian, marry them, which bowled us over. When we went there and we went to the service, they asked, we said we'd go the next day to church, and they invited us for a meal. And they've been praying for 18 years, and they've had small bits of locals in because they told God it would be a French church. So they kept it French. And a few French people have come and then they haven't. The basic of it has been English. And they came up and they thanked Jimmy and I so much, and they couldn't be pleasant enough. And they said that we filled their church. They thought God had sent us there, because their church, like the whole village turned out for my niece's wedding. And they had more French people in that they'd ever had. It was the first wedding that they'd ever had. And they said that that was from 18 years answer of prayer. And she said there was a lady there that knew Kingdom Faith, but she'd been dragged away. So we thought, what a shame, we're going back tomorrow. So in the following day after that. So then there was a bang on the door at the night, and we thought it was the landlady for the money. And all turns out she was the landlady for the money, but she was also a lady called Linda who'd been to college at Kingdom Faith and is in the process of getting the way the Spirit translated into French.
Amen. Amen.
So we can make it as complicated or as easy as we want if we just live our lives and listen to God.
Yeah.
He throws people at us.
Yeah. Amen. Yeah, I think you're right. We just never really quite expected it. You know, this idea that God's going to... If we just... Some of it's just an attitude, and then having that attitude and taking a few steps out, we're going to be surprised at what God's going to do. And I don't think, like Jennifer was just saying, that God's going to throw... I don't throw people at us. I don't think the church in the nation has had this kind of an attitude for a long, long time of expecting people to be saved. And yet that's what God is saying now. But it is us just doing our lives, but with this expectation, you know. And it's amazing what God's just done with everything that everybody's brought has just been spot on. It's been like confirmation, but everything was different.
Yes.
And that's what it will be. That will be replicated in all the lives across this room. All of us will have a different story of what God's doing. But we will have a story of what God's doing. Yeah? Well, I haven't got time for the Matthew 25. And that, again, you see, is God underlining it's not just about hearing the pastor speak. We're all hearing from God. Amen? We are going to have a last song because we're going to have our opportunity to give to the Lord, bring our tithes and our offerings. So our worship team dash to the front, and we'll finish with that. Sorry we've gone over again, but it was worth it.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com/Yorkshire.